Ready? Okay. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Board of Trustees, American River Flood Control District. And we have a few guests today, not as many as last month, but glad to see you here. And let's start with item number one. Oh, let's see, do we need to do roll? No, okay.
You can always do roll, but.
We do have quorum, so we'll start with public comments on the non-agenda item. Anybody here want to speak on anything that's not on today's agenda? Not appearing, then we will go to the consent calendar. We have five items on the consent calendar. Does anybody want to pull any off?
Recording on? Did Tim turn the recording?
Is it on?
Yes.
It's on, okay. Okay, anybody want to pull anything off the consent agenda?
I would like to pull E. I just think we should have a conversation about that.
No worries. All right, how about a motion on A through D?
I move.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye on everything except for B because I wasn't here for that.
Okay. Good point. Okay, item E.
We received a letter. Oh, did you want to introduce the topic? Yeah, we received a letter from a member of the public that had commented on our agenda items from March about the Two Rivers Trail, considering the request from the city to allow a short reach to be paved on the trail. And the gist of the letter was the resident felt that we had somehow been disingenuous with how we presented the emails from the public regarding the topic, and he felt that there was a preponderance of emails supporting the trail, and that somehow he was inferring that we were not disclosing the emails that were against the trail. I've got a summary, if you are curious about the actual amount of emails we received. And so I disclosed 100% of the emails we received on the topic to you up to the time of the board meeting, and there were 75 of them, and this is how they all settled out.
So I think what we need to do is write him back and say, look, as I understood it, most of the opposition emails came to the meeting, the first meeting on the subject, and in between them, we had all these letters of support. We had already received the opposition, copies of the opposition emails. And so when we had our second meeting, we had this slug of pro trail emails, and those were in our second meeting. I think Mr. Hyland only saw the emails from the second meeting, which were mostly supportive. So that's what I think.
We received very few.
He didn't realize there was a lot of emails from the opponents that had been received at the first meeting, which he didn't see, apparently.
But there was still, the scale of the numbers was pretty much as reflected in this table, not that many were received against the trail.
Right.
We got bombarded by people for the trail just because somebody got the word out, hey everyone, there must have been an email blast, send your email to timkerr@arfcd.org, and it was almost a cut and paste. Mm-hmm. All the emails were identical, but they were from the different people. So I think it was just better.
Yeah.
You know,
marketing or something.
But Tim, your
tweet is very useful. I noticed that the emails, because they came in kind of in batches,
mm-hmm.
we were getting them in batches also, and I can think that if you just were not, there's no perfect way of making sure that you always have a complete record at all times in front of the decision makers. Mm-hmm. You just can't do it. And I think that that our district staff did a great job in making sure that we had access to everything. And I feel bad for my neighbor who maybe didn't have the same ability to see everything at the same time through the channels he was working with. And I wish I could remember how I got access to everything. But I felt that staff did a good job of making sure we had access to everything.
Mm-hmm. And if you recall that when the board packet was posted on a Wednesday, there were the initial 12 emails as on that board packet posted to the internet. And then just a couple days later on March 28th, we posted more emails, and it was 48 additional emails, and they were put on the internet, and they were emailed to the trustees so that you were aware. Here came 48 more emails, and then the morning of the board meeting, we added 15 more emails, and I had those printed out and provided to you and to the public. So I don't know when those last 15 got posted to the internet, but
Friday
also. So as soon as I was getting them, I was handing them to you and posting them on the internet for the public. So
would you send a letter to Mr. Heilman explaining that they came in batches, he only saw the last batch probably, or the second batch, and send this along as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll do.
The table is really great. I appreciate that.
Okay.
I know for me, I was just concerned like that someone felt that way, because I felt with all the comments we were getting, it was really, you guys were doing a great job in packaging them and making sure that they were available, because I did check online when you sent it to us. I was like, oh, is it available online?
Okay.
And so I really appreciated that what we were getting, the public was getting. So I just, yeah, I agree. Like, we should just let them know, like, here's concern, but here's the data and
yeah, and also Tim and Maureen did a great job, because we're not used to having a controversy, and so I thought it was just handled really, really well, really professionally, and really helped the board make its decision. Thank you for that. I really
thank you.
Appreciate that. Okay, what's your pleasure on item E?
I'd like to move it.
Okay. A motion?
A second.
And a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, item two, accounts payable general. Unexpenses. Any questions?
Tim, on item 52, the Sunbelt Rentals, is that the mini excavator
yeah.
we keep running?
Yeah.
Okay. And when do we think at some point we consider actually acquiring one rather than?
We're going to request it in this year's upcoming budget. I still need to meet with the finance committee about the budget. And Ross has got a new updated quote on the piece of equipment we want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually rented a few different sizes of equipment, and so we've zeroed in on the exact item. So we do have a quote on the exact item we want to buy, and we're going to pitch that to the finance committee, and then when the final budget's approved, we can talk about what that line item will be in the budget. It's
okay.
About a $38,000 piece of equipment.
43
once you add the attachments.
On everything, mm-hmm. Everything included.
Got yeah. it. Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Any and knowing questions? Our team, we'll have it for 20 years.
Uh-huh.
You know, they take really good care
yeah.
of their
uh-huh.
equipment out there.
Me?
Big Sky office furniture.
That was 12 additional chairs because of all we anticipated we would need seating for 20 people, and we had almost 20 exactly at those last two meetings. So we got new chairs, and they match all the other chairs, and they stack and they roll, and they're really cool.
All those kinds of things. Wait a minute. Layer auto electric and emergency.
I'll pass this one to Ross.
That's all emergency lighting we've been putting on all our mowers for when we start working on the bike trails.
Oh, okay.
Having people to see them. So they light up pretty good.
They're like
okay.
LED now,
LED,
right? Really
yes.
powerful.
That's kind of the standard, industry standard now, working on roadways.
Okay. I think I don't need my we did the Sunday winter. And then the Mongan Group public relations information.
That's our technical writer for the newsletter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Vicky Mongan.
Yeah, okay. All right. I'm good.
Okay. Is that a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Further discussion, all in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. I'm going to take item number 4, if you don't mind, and move it to the end of the agenda, because there's somebody that's trying to get here for item 4,
oh.
And they have been busting their tail trying to get here from Florida and via San Diego, and I just got a message that they are baggage claim and they're on their way. So if you don't mind, I will move it. It's a surprise. Okay, let's go to item 5, audit.
So the Finance Committee met and reviewed the audit, and primarily our conversation revolved around the new GASB 75 on the way we're supposed to disclose our retiree health benefit liability. And the number keeps getting bigger and bigger, and we had a recent actuarial study that updated that number per the new guidance in GASB 75. So collectively, we all had a lot of questions about, you know, what does that mean, for how bad is it that we have such a large liability, and should we be doing anything different with that fund? So we luckily and quite fortunately we have Ingrid Scheiplein here from Richardson. They're the group that does our audit, every year, so she's very familiar with our district and all the new requirements and GASB laws. And we also have Rob here, who is the one that does all of our bookkeeping and knows exactly how we're tracking and doing our financial reporting to the trustees. So at this point, if you have questions about the audit, we could definitely turn it over to the experts.
Sure, let's ask them anything that we need to know, any changes or recommended, any procedures or anything in the tax law that changed the way we do things?
Well, I think just the impact of GASB 75, as far as the audit itself, everything was in good shape as far as the procedures, so we really didn't have any findings. I think the most significant issue in this year's audit was just the fact that you had to basically restate your equity because of bringing your full OPEB liability on your books. So if you look at page 12 within the financial statement, you'll see the OPEB liability there of $3.8 million. Last year, the number was $2.3 million. So a large increase because of this change in accounting principles. And this applies to all governmental agencies, so you aren't the only ones that experience this significant increase. Especially agencies that don't fund the plan are the ones that saw the most significant increases. So I know that there was discussion, I believe, at the Finance Committee about whether or not you would eventually fund it, meaning making contributions to the plan similar to what you do for the retirement benefits. There is some new disclosures that if you could go to page 32. There's new disclosures this year as a result of the new accounting principles, and the table on page 32 probably best illustrates that. In the middle page there, it shows that the restated liability at the beginning of the year is at $3.7 million. The actuary calculates an annual cost, which is that $63,000 plus interest of $129,000. And then there's benefit payments that are coming out. So because there's no new contributions or money going into the plan, that liability will continue to increase. One item to point out, too, is that this calculation of this OPEB liability is driven by the discount rate, meaning, you know, what you think your assets would earn. Since you don't have assets, the discount rate that's used in determining this liability is quite low. You'll see in the middle of that page where it says current discount rate, 3.5%. What happens if you have a low discount rate is it drives the liability up. If you start funding the plan, then the actuaries will propose a higher discount rate, usually about 7 to 7.5%. And that in and of itself will bring the liability down just because of the nature of the calculation. So that's some of the differences as far as funding it versus not funding the plan.
I never can remember what OPED means.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's other post-employment benefits.
Okay. It's health care for the retirees.
Got it.
It's the retiree health care.
Yeah. GASB, I finally remembered.
And so kind of what she's talking about is we haven't really funded ours. It's so they're giving us a low discount rate. It's projected that that's what our money is going to, or that's what the liability.
Well, the 3.5% is just assuming that your assets that you have as an organization would eventually use to fund this. Mm-hmm. And so it's assuming that the return on, you know, your money that's in the city pool, they're estimating about 3.5%.
When really we're getting about 2.4. So we're getting even less. So our liability should be even bigger than what they've disclosed here. Versus if we funded this, I guess, liability or
the plan,
we could get up to 7%. And I talked to RD1000. They've funded theirs. They're using the CalPERS Retirement Trust. It's a CERP, California Employee Benefit Retirement Trust. And it has three different options for different levels of risks that we're willing to incur, and it's about 7% return or discount rate, or 6% or 5%. So it would be getting way more than our current 2.4% if we decided to fund this plan.
Yeah,
Yeah, and funding doesn't mean putting the full $3.8 million into an account. Funding, it means, you know, you could choose to put in $50,000 a year, you could choose to put in $200,000. I mean, there's no set amount. It's not putting a big chunk of money in right away, and that's not what agencies are doing.
Okay.
They're just putting aside whatever your budget is capable of absorbing. So when we say funding, I just want to make sure it's clear that it doesn't mean you put the $3.8 million into an account and then...
Unless you want to.
Well, you can, but that's generally not what's meant by funding the plan. Funding the plan means putting aside some amount. Now, if you were to put aside an amount that the actuary calculates, that would be those amounts on page 32, the 63,000 and the 129, which adds up to just under 200,000. So if to keep up with the current cost that the actuary calculates, this would show that you would put 200,000 in, but you're not necessarily locked into putting that amount in. You could put 10,000 in, you could put 50,000, you could put 500,000 in. There's no set amount that you need to put in. It's just whatever you decide include in your budget.
I guess the idea would be that if we did start funding that, it would lower that liability
eventually
on our
over
books.
Time it would lower. I mean, you won't see the impact immediately, but it would start lowering the liability because as those assets build up, then the discount, you can increase the discount rate, which will drive the liability down. Mm-hmm. And those assets will build up even if you just put, you know, a nominal amount in every year.
So remind me, we have put money aside, we just haven't put it in a trust.
Exactly.
So
we just
how
keep
much have we put aside?
We're up to $3 million now. Yeah, $2.98 million.
Just remind trustees that to some extent this number is simply an accounting number.
Okay.
It's not that we've been irresponsible in terms of our management of the liability. I think that historically what the board has decided is we need to keep the money available for a flood fight,
mm-hmm.
which would be reimbursed by the feds, we assume, at some later point. But if we put the money into a trust account, we cannot access it for
okay.
a flood fight. So that's been the deliberation that goes back and forth and back and forth.
Every year.
Every year. So I just wanted to, we have two newer board members.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that background, because that was my question, with a very limited horizon and understanding what this is, where we've been and what decisions we've made.
We still do have, but we have about 5,000, that's not for that, right?
We have $7.5 million total in reserve funds.
Right, so we do have a large chunk that's not set aside specifically for this. And so I'm actually, thank you so much, that was one of my biggest questions, was can we just put in a portion or some of it, or how much do we have to put in? Because our biggest concern was we'd have to fully fund it, like one shot kind of thing. So
yeah.
That's great to hear that we can break it up however it might fit for our board.
But the 7.5 includes... The
yeah,
right.
About
yeah,
3 million
not
of it's the.
Plus
yeah,
trade.
No, yeah,
yeah.
Sorry, it's the total amount that we have. So
we have
retiree benefits plus that.
1.5 million for flood fight, 1.5 million for an emergency repair, and 1.5 million for capital improvement. Those are our more flexible reserve funds. Whereas the retiree reserve fund, we've never touched that. We just keep adding to the retiree reserve fund, but it's there in a pinch.
Okay.
Other questions? Mm-hmm. Steve, anything? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Rob had something to say.
Just bring up a couple of things. Yeah, with this new GASB, does that evaluation have to be done every year now, going forward?
It's every 2 years.
Every other year. Okay. You may have noticed that in the MD&A, there's some discussion that the net position declined. And some people think that means that the district is going the wrong direction financially. But if you look at page 13, the big reason for the decline in net position was because of the restatement.
Okay.
And the GASB 75. But if you look at, again, page 13, the revenues exceeded the expenses by $447,000. So there was still what I would call an operating surplus from last year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Questions?
Thank
okay.
you.
What's the pleasure of the board on item 6?
Do we move to accept the audit, or what's the motion?
That's typically what we do.
Yeah. So moved.
Okay.
Motion and a second. Yeah, motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, thank you very much. Item six, newsletter.
So the newsletter committee has been working on the newsletter, and we've also used Robin Hardy as our graphic designer, who does the whole layout and hires, you know, helps us find a technical writer, who is Vicky Mongan, and then she also has the printer and the mailing house and whatnot. And so the committee has blessed this newsletter. We just wanted to get the board to do the final approval on it.
The only thing I was going to suggest is on the little graphic, I wonder if it would be helpful if we had another dashed line that had the levy, and it said owned by ARFCD or something like that. I'm just wondering, you know, we're showing the state easement, but it might be good to show that we own, that somebody owns. The public owns the levy, not the property owner?
That's a good point. The article mentions that nowhere in our district does the public own underneath the levy. It's always publicly owned. That's kind of what the article... But I see what you say. The graphic doesn't really show that. The graphic is only talking about this little easement.
Yeah, you know, I would just, you know, dash the line over and have... AFRCD ownership, or
I think that's a
state
good
ownership, or something. You know,
yeah.
Well, very.
Tim, you can fudge it by saying public ownership.
Public ownership.
Yeah, as long as we make the distinction that it's not the public that lives adjacent to the levy.
Let's say public, it's different agency than that public ownership.
Yeah. I think that's important.
I like that.
That's a good idea, because people tend to just look at pictures, and especially with some of the confusion going on, I think that's a wise thing just to help people remember.
Yeah. Do you want me to bring this back to the board once we change that graphic, or just take the staff description on it? Okay.
And nice article on the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that when the newsletter committee met, we had very few comments, but the changes are great. So
good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you want to go into staff reports?
One last question. Assuming that we get this taken care of fairly quickly, how long until the newsletter probably goes out?
About a month, right? A few weeks to go through the printer.
It doesn't take her that long, so it will definitely already be in the mail prior to the next board meeting.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
do I have a motion or anything on that?
I'm waiting for it.
Oh,
thank you.
So moved. Move to approve the newsletter.
Okay. Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, let's, while we're stalling.
let's just go for
you
it.
You going to tell us a story, Brian?
Let us move to
Steph?
The general manager's report.
Fantastic. I'll be happy to kill a lot of time on this. Answer all your questions about the exciting meetings I've been going to.
Tim, don't exaggerate.
I think it's exciting sometimes.
I think they're exciting.
Yeah.
They
are
exciting. Well, maybe not exciting, but interesting.
Interesting, I would go.
I find them exciting.
Yeah. The one on 326, that's some good headway. I like working with those people. The Central Valley Regional Water Quality Control Board, working with Adam Lapitz and Richard Mull over there. Those people are really passionate about water quality. It's kind of cool. And they're being pretty helpful, providing leadership in the cleanup of Steelhead Creek. They even scheduled a plane flight to fly over Steelhead Creek.
Wow.
But on the day that they did that, it was kind of inclement weather. They invited me to go. I politely bowed out of that. I don't like heights at all. I don't like little airplanes. I don't like driving over bridges. I just, you know, I'll look at the drone footage, you know.
That would, yeah. See, I think it would be fun, but it's like, that seems like it would be the worst thing.
I would have been like, closed eyes in the back, fetal position.
There'd be no point for you to close your eyes.
He says,
so I take it that when Safeka does the helicopter tour from Folsom to... the Yolo Basin.
Tim is not on there.
Very rarely.
Yeah.
They do that. It's.
If I'm not sick that day, I will be. No.
That is worth taking the Dramamine, Vicodin, and the Benadryl.
You've been on it? Is it pretty good?
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, it's nice seeing it from aerial photos, but as it as it comes by and people are pointing out certain features. It's pretty amazing.
That would be really neat.
Yeah, so sometimes when the congresswoman is here or some other, you know, federal official, they'll do that. So I would recommend anybody get
We'll send Ross.
Yeah, I don't mind Ross.
I think they both sound awesome.
Yeah, I know the helicopter one is.
So Tim, a question about something that's not on here. When do we think we're going to get to repairing that sinkhole adjacent to the H Street Bridge?
Yeah, that's going to probably have to be this summer.
So like a June, July sort of a thing? Or,
I think I'm going to need some approval from the flood board to dig in the levee right there.
Uh-huh.
It's funny that the person I'm dealing with at the State of California Department of Water Resources Levee Integrity Branch isn't that concerned about it. He's looked at all the plans for the bridge and all the documentation on any historic pipes. Doesn't see anything there that means it's a failed pipe. He thinks it's just some, you know, strange anomaly. And I did share with him that my recollection from working on all the Army Corps projects is that the historic evidence says that they built that bridge abutment at H Street on top of giant boulders and rubble. So there could be huge voids down at depth.
Okay.
And then the water just slowly found its way into a void and started increasing. And then as the water route from the rainfall infiltrating into the ground, it exacerbated that and created a void in the levee and it all collapsed. That's what, you know, he's thinking that's probably what it is, but I'm still not comfortable. I would like to hire Kleinfelder to write us a scope of work or an exploration plan that's probably going with a Vactor truck. It's a giant vacuum pipe on the back of a truck and a hose, and it'll suck all the dirt out. They liquefy the dirt with a high-pressure water jet. They suck the dirt out. We can see if there's anything down there, and if there's nothing down there, we'll have to have a backfill plan. But if there is a pipe, then everything changes. We find a pipe. Now suddenly we have to develop a plan. How do we properly abandon the pipe, which might mean some more excavation or some grout program or something like that. So if there's no pipe, it's just a backfill. But even a backfill is complicated. That could take a week if it's done the way we're supposed to do it.
All right, thanks.
And so far, I can't find anybody else to pay for it. I think it's all on us.
All right. My other question was just related to the levee repairs that Ross and his staff made adjacent to like Sutter Landing Park in that area. And
down by Blue Diamond Almond Growers,
you're
thinking?
Yeah, Blue Diamond. And thanks for the phone call back earlier this week. So it sounds like the homeless camp that had excavated into the levee, you said they self relocated when the floodwaters came up.
Yep.
So then, when we did the repairs, did we do them in such a way that it's less likely that they will come back to reestablish that?
I hope so. Lately, we just need to patch the levee prism where there's a divot, and we found patching it with rock is fairly quick. And we cover it with dirt, reseed it, and whatnot. If you repair with just dirt, you have to put it in like 6-inch layers and compact every layer with the wheel. And we can't get a wheel down there, so we fixed that divot with rock and covered it with dirt and reseeded it.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they'll be able to redig through that rock. I'm hopeful they won't be able to. The problem is, as soon as the water level goes down, I think we're going to find there's another cut even lower than that one. But we won't know until the water's low, and the water's still pretty high right now. But the odd thing is you never know when they're going to vacate the camp. So as soon as they vacate, we have to fix it the next day. So we fixed that site in one day. It was pretty crazy that we were able to fix it that quickly. But we went there on a Tuesday, realized the guy had vacated the camp. We asked him if we could help him move the rest of his belongings out of the site, and we picked up his stuff and moved it, and we fixed it the same day. We think that was most of the work. The problem is the city and, I believe, SMUD and the Deller folks were hoping that we would facilitate a giant sweep through that whole stretch and get all the encampments removed and that we would do a giant project and fix everything in there. So I think that campsite was the only one cutting into the levee prism, so it's the only one we really, really had to repair.
Is it still fixed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's well, we only did it a month ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
so I think it was a month ago.
For them to dig it back out.
Yeah. But we just had to just pounce on it. But when the water goes down, we might find that there's more at that same site. But I think the ones further upstream, God, and there's a village in there, and the people don't want to move. We couldn't even really move just to get equipment in through there. So we had to just go straight down the levee to get to this damaged site.
Okay.
But those people are going to be hard to evict, and the city was kind of let down because they were hopeful that we would be the leverage to move those people out for our public safety project.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I don't want to have to do that if it's not absolutely required, because when we've worked with the city on the Steelhead Creek thing, they wanted a big media outreach plan about why we were doing this work and why were we imposing upon these campers and whatnot. So you really have to get your ducks lined up and a lot of public outreach lined up and dialed in before we go do that level of relocation.
On the issue you just mentioned at SMUD, we found that there might be some disagreement or lack of communication between certain elements of the city as to how they should be addressing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that one of the departments that's very vocal about the area that we're talking about has one position which is not supported by city management.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, okay. So it's, I think that that's where some of the disappointment would be coming up with the city staff.
Yeah.
And why maybe things aren't moving forward.
It's very difficult.
Kind of maybe a nitty-gritty question, but I'm curious. What kind of rock, like, are we using large rock to fill? Like, I know there's a couple different types of sizing that we use for filling in levees, but like, I'm just curious so I can imagine.
That
like,
was,
to watch people dig through,
yeah,
like, how effective
18-inch minus. The two types of rock we typically, or three types, there's 18-inch minus is your normal riprap, and we have a giant pile of it that we used to be at SMUD or Blue Diamond, and now it's over at Bell Marine, so it was luckily, you know, within eyesight of the damage site. So it was a quick haul. The other stuff we've been using lately is this 6-inch drain rock.
Oh.
And we use that sometimes on the roadway entrance to knock all the dirt off the tires so it doesn't track dirt into city streets. But we've also found it's great for adding to these camp repairs because it's harder to dig through.
Okay. Hmm. Cool. I was just curious because
the other thing we've been using it for is when we do the 18-inch riprap. You put in some of the 6-inch and it fills all the voids and it locks together and makes like a bomb-proof surface. So that's been pretty useful too.
That's cool.
Because the 18-inch rock, there'll still be a lot of voids in it. And so it's nice to not have all those voids for wave energy dissipation on bake protection, stuff like that. And then the third type of rock we use are the BFRs, which is a giant rock like this, and it stands for big freaking rock.
That's
the BFRs are really handy sometimes.
I feel like that would really stop people from digging.
Yeah, we use them for roadblocks actually and barriers.
I've actually seen that used before.
Yeah.
Terminology.
The derrick stone's the official term for them, and sometimes they're great in a bank protection project. You can put those at the very bottom, and it makes almost like an anchor for your smaller rock to go behind.
Okay, cool. I just was curious because, like, since I know we've been doing a lot of those repairs of, you know, digging out from the homeless camp, I just was curious, like, what we're doing to help try to protect that levee so that we don't continue to get those. So, because people tend to go back to the same spot. So,
absolutely,
if we're making it super hard to go back there, because that also, there's more soil issues specifically there, too. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Good question.
Okay. 19 assessment surveys.
Yeah, I got an email, I think, just over 2 weeks ago from Bob Cermak at WSP, who does our annual administrative assessment so we can get our revenue. He says they're getting out of that business, they're no longer staffed for it, and they won't be able to do our assessment this year.
Oh.
So that sent me scrambling to go find a new company quickly because it starts in July, you know, to do all, and sometimes there's some lead-up work so somebody could get familiar with our district. And I talked to RD1000 and Safeca, and they both use SCI Consulting out of Fairfield. So I've been in discussions with them. They're going to submit a proposal to me early next week, and I can look at that. And I had a really good discussion. They said about half of their work is all in administrative assessments, and they do a lot of water agencies and whatnot. So they've got a ton of familiarity with this type of work and with our region and flood control agencies specifically. They're also going to put in their proposal an option where we could pursue developing an updated engineer's report for our district, which would be useful if we're ever going to pursue a Prop 218 assessment or something like that. You have to have an updated engineer's report. So I think that could be helpful to at least look at to see if we would want to update our engineer's report. But I said, first thing, we really want to get our assessment for this year so we can don't have any delays in submitting our documents.
Okay, thank you. Board vacancy special meeting.
Based on our last meeting, we developed a timeline for filling the vacancy on the board due to Trustee Redway vacating the position. So what the board's preference was is prior to our next regularly scheduled meeting on May 10th, that we would have a special meeting about a week prior to that to review the applications that we've received for a trustee and possibly actually interview. So
okay.
I thought maybe we could look at everyone's schedules to see when that special meeting could be.
3rd is perfect for me. It's my day off, so that makes my life much easier.
I'm unfortunately, I'm flying to D.C. that day for the...
Camp.
Yeah.
You said May 3rd? Was that the date?
That was the date. Well, that would be the Friday before.
Right.
I can move stuff around on the 26th, like, it, depending on, like, how long we do it. I would just ask if we do it, doing it later in the afternoon is, like...
Only thing is, so Monday is when we'd be posting the vacancy.
Okay, so how many days do we need?
15.
I'm asking for all resumes and such to be to me by the 30th of April. Mm-hmm. So you can, the earliest you would be able to hold a meeting would be May 1st.
Okay. So any work day for me later in the afternoon, I can take off a couple hours, that's fine. Do you have any travel? You said you're traveling on the 3rd, but is the 1st or 2nd travel days for you?
No, I'm here on the 1st and 2nd work.
Double check, make sure. So I know 2nd is safe, guys, so the 1st might be better on the late in the afternoon, because the 2nd is safe, guys.
Such as like 4 o'clock or?
Yeah, like 3 or 4 o'clock is fine. Like, because then I don't have to take off as much time. It's a little easier for me.
Safeca has a meeting on the 2nd?
Is it the 2nd or is it
usually
the
2nd?
It's the executive committee meeting on
the 2nd. Oh, yeah, gotcha. Because the normal meeting is usually like the 16th.
Yeah. Right.
We could do it the day before the board meeting, do it on the 9th. We'd have meetings back to back.
Again, in the afternoon, like. That's fine for me.
What day are we talking about?
So the options are the 1st or the 9th is what we're talking about. You're like sitting here.
I'm good
like,
the 1st.
I don't have
any. And are we talking May, right?
May,
yeah.
Yes, May.
I can make both of those work.
I think the 1st is better because then it gives us a little bit more time to kind of
think about things
and really
that's
like
a good idea.
Exactly.
It doesn't give us a lot of lead time to get you the applications, but if they're all due by the 30th, the evening of the 30th, I'll email them all to the board.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to put those on the internet application.
No,
so
no,
I will scan those and I'll email them to the trustees the evening of the 30th by the close of business. And then we'll have a meeting the afternoon of the 1st probably.
Okay.
David, are you available on the 1st?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock meeting on the 1st?
That's
that
great for me.
Now, Brian, is the intent of the board to appoint someone or to just go over?
That meeting was to look at any application we have, talk mm-hmm. about the procedure, kind of come up with a game plan for the following meeting, right?
Okay, that's what I wanted to check.
Do you also want to possibly like interview any of them? Or?
If we can.
Okay.
Yeah, if there's an opportunity to.
Yeah, so what we did the last time, that meeting was interviewing of the candidates because we had more than one. And then we waited until the next board meeting to officially appoint.
Mm-hmm. Here's a question for the board. If you get 2 or 3 candidates, then since you're telling them in the application materials, the board will be having a special meeting on May 1 and you're at 4 o'clock, we would expect you to be available for interviews. That would be the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the off chance that you get a lot of applications, you may want to spend that time to, if you get, say, 10 applications, to cull it down to 2 or 3 who you then would interview at the May 3rd meeting. So I'll leave it up to you. I can work with Malena. We can put something together in the application that says if there are, the board will make a determination, you know, after all applications in, or whether it's going to interview on the 1st or cull, as it were. And, you know, we'll just arrange for that. But that's it. That's the board's pleasure.
Sounds like that's where they want to go.
I think that's smart, just because like if we have 10 people, that would be kind of crazy for us to try to interview 10 people, really be able to vet them. So I do agree with
that. What if you did interview the 10 people and then had callback interviews?
If you have 10, you probably get a few people.
Hey, special guest is here.
Looking very relaxed and tired.
I'm exhausted.
As you should be. but the day that you had.
But I was going to say, but just because we won't know, like, because the third technically didn't work, because I know Steve Johns said he wasn't going to be able to make that. But I think if on the first, when we have it, and we're like, we find out we had 10 applicants, we could probably try to figure out maybe the interview then, if we're going
to
do it. Like, we could
don't they have up to 60 days? So it doesn't, the person doesn't have to be appointed by the May 10th.
Oh yeah,
you've
got 60 days.
So we have time to like kind of figure it. Okay.
That's just our minimal timeline is getting somebody by that May meeting, but technically you can push it out until
all right.
June. I think if we have a ton, we should take our time to like really vet them, and so that way we can figure out how to interview and all of that. So I think depending on how many applicants.
But if you get a ton of them, my experience is half of them are going to be people you say, not a chance, ever. It's very easy. And then there are half that say, oh, that could be really interesting, and you want to interview those folks.
So on our announcement of the vacancy, should we indicate, be prepared to be here at the special meeting?
That they should be prepared, but that Mullane will contact them all on the morning of the 1st to confirm.
Ooh, I'm trying to avoid that. I don't want to unduly tax Mullane trying to scurry around and contact a bunch of people, and then the onus is on us. Why didn't you contact me at these five different? I think we just put it right in the announcement, right off the bat. Be prepared to be here at 4, and they don't even have to talk. I mean, they could just be sitting in the audience, and you don't have to interview them. But if you want to, and there's only 3 of them, they could talk, or you could ask them questions.
That
is that
could
okay?
Also be a way of weeding people out. Like, let's say we did get 10 apps, but only 4 people showed up. We might have originally not wanted to interview, but since only 4 people followed the instructions to show up, we might as well interview them. So I think I like that idea.
And you may have the people you don't want to actually appoint who show up.
That's true.
Just to be just me.
All right. So can we get a recap just so I understand what the process is? So it's applications are due on the 30th, and then we'll have the meeting 4 o'clock on May 1st, and then depending on the number of applicants and things like that, we can decide if we need to have a second meeting?
I would suggest, just to make it simple, have everybody have their materials in by April 30th. The board has a meeting on May 1st to identify who to interview and what questions and how the process is going to work. On May, 10th, it's a regular board meeting. Mm-hmm. First item is interviews with selected candidates, which may be all or none, several. And an appointment of a new trustee. Now you have a full complement, and you move forward.
Okay.
So I'm kind of concerned with, again, my brain's kind of like, depending on how many people, I don't want to rush it since we have 60 days. I understand we're going to be short someone, and that doesn't make it easy, but I do think that part of me, especially if we get a large amount, I really do want to have time to vet them more, and I think trying to do it, like, the 1st and then the 10th, like, I just don't personally feel...
So, I know I'm not going to be here, but it seemed like on the 1st, you can decide, if you only have 3 and you have 1, like, stellar candidate, you can decide
okay.
if you're going to interview them on the 10th. If you have 15 and you want to interview all of them, you can just schedule
Mullane will have all of their email
okay.
addresses.
You can decide that on the 1st.
Okay.
You
yeah.
won't actually post
yeah.
the agenda for the
okay.
first.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That was just like, my concern was like, I want to make sure we still have space for us to make decisions.
You don't have people showing up here on the 1st if you may or may
right.
not really want to
I think the verbiage that we have in there right now is the board will hold a special meeting to review the information, you know, that's received.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
They can show up if they want.
Right.
Right.
It's
a public meeting.
Yeah. Cool.
Does that answer your question, Steve?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Crystal
okay.
clear.
Any last questions on the board vacancy issue? No? Okay. Hydrologic conditions.
Can I just want to... I don't know if somebody already emailed Cyril to tell him that.
Yeah, Mullane, would you do that? Please. Okay.
So we've had some hydrology.
Really?
Yeah. Reservoirs are all just about at their conservation or above. There's a couple that are slightly below. But the water year is shaping up to be really quite excellent. And here's looking at Folsom Reservoir. It is currently 105 total acre feet encroached, so it's above where it's supposed to be at this time. Inflow is 11,488 cubic feet per second. Outflow is just about 10,000 feet per second. Here's the chart. The red line is the conservation threshold that we're supposed to be keeping the water below that red line, and they're a little bit above it. You know, you're allowed to fill the reservoir back up in the spring, and they're filling it a little early. I'm not quite comfortable with that. The shaded light blue area is average reservoir storage for this time of year, and we're quite a bit above average. So it's a pretty good water year. Here's a picture of I Street. This the black line is where it's at today. It's just below 23 and a half feet, so it's still pretty high. Yeah, Sacramento River has been high for quite a while now.
Yeah,
and
flew over it, it is.
The water is up over the berm and kind of lapping into some erosion that we see a little bit on the waterside berm there, so we're keeping an eye on that. It's projected to come up a little bit and then slowly start tapering back off. Then we've got the precipitation for the 8-station index. We are this blue line here, so we're well above average. Average is this kind of light blue shaded area. The wettest year was 2016-17, so we're not up to those levels, but we're well above average. It's a pretty good water year. And then the snow is what's really the most remarkable. Here's another plot that has our snowpack. This is the northern area. That's what we look at the most closely. We're at 155% of average in our snowpack. So that's really good. Let's just hope that it doesn't melt rapidly. We want a nice, slow, even release of that water up there in the snowpack.
So people who know snow better than me say there's a strong likelihood of that.
That it might melt? Or
it will be a slow melt.
Slow melt. That's good.
Because we've had cold and rain, so it packs it.
Makes it more icy.
It.
Yeah,
mm.
That's good news.
That is all good
mm-hmm.
news.
Yeah.
New places, how high above the North Fork of the American River?
We are out of the floodplain.
Yay.
We're not out of fire.
But you could see the water,
out
right?
Of the
you
yes.
could see the river.
Our driveway would go under, but our house won't.
Good. Okay.
And then our next board meeting is also when we plan to do the district tour. We had pushed that off. Usually we do that in April, but we thought if we have a new trustee, we might as well wait and take the new trustee on our tour. I don't know if you would want to push it off again if we decide that we aren't able to make a decision on filling that vacancy.
I would actually, so I'm going to be a little rushed on the 10th. I have a big work conference that I got just assigned to on the 10th. So I really want to go on the tour, and I'd love if we could wait until June. And I do think that gives the new trustee like a minute to breathe for a second and kind of start to like understand and maybe schedule. Because again, what if it's another working person who might have to really schedule if they have to take the whole day off of work or something. So I think it'd be appropriate to wait till June for a big field trip.
I'm all for pushing it off, but June's not particularly good because that's when we have to review our budget and our closed sessions for the personnel and general manager
later's
review.
Fine.
So June turns into a really long meeting.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So people might be kind of exhausted from all
July's
that.
July's fine. Just like
maybe July.
Pushing it off is fine.
It's just we'll have to make sure we have air conditioning going.
Yeah.
Full blast
yeah.
in July. It starts getting kind of warm out there on the levees, but we can do that.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so let's push that off, you're thinking then?
I think it makes sense.
Okay.
I think it makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Okay. David, legal counsel report.
Nothing further.
We've had way too much legal for the last month or so.
Okay, Malene.
The only thing I have is asking of the board if I can go attend the Special Districts Association Board Secretary Conference again this year. This year it'll be in Seaside, so the 12th through the 14th. And depending on if they have a pre-conference, that might be beneficial. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah.
But you've always come back
always
with,
come
you know,
back with
good stuff,
yeah.
Good reports, and it's a good way to get engaged.
Mm-hmm. So I know that you were able to find out really great stuff for the audio and make great connections for that, so you always have really good ideas from there. So.
Good. Now we'll register.
Ross.
All right. Anyway, I wanted to show Steve the repairs from February, but we didn't have enough space on here. So we're going to put do that next time.
Okay.
Anyway, we went inside to go ahead to River Park, go clean out some of the trail areas. And we went ahead and cleaned it out. We did a lot of hand work. We also used our new Bobcat, which that mulches everything down pretty well.
Being a frequent user, you did a very nice job.
The big bush is gone, too.
Yeah, no, you
think
actually,
now you can walk through
the trail. The lower road is actually
accessible. People have been very happy in River Park. So anyway, that's part of the trimming, a lot of hand work. We did that in about 3 hours to clean right there by the pump station. We went through it very fast and very clean just to get in and out. You can't even tell we trimmed it. Tim went out there and looked at it too. You can't tell we've been in there.
That's crazy.
The guys do a pretty good job at trimming, so they got down to where they don't look like hacking anymore. Everything looks more professional out there. So people have really been happy with it, River Park. Tribute lost over here at Arcade Creek, over by Hagenwood Park. The state came out, and that's their problem. So I had to get some camps removed, and the state had to come up with a permitting issue to pull that out. They just got it pulled out this week, and their brand new tractor broke out there.
Oh.
So they were having trouble out
so
there.
Ross looked at it initially as maybe it was our responsibility, mm-hmm. and we got a tree estimate from Kent, and it was going to be $15,000 to remove that tree because it's so huge and it spans the entire creek. But then that got us thinking, well, maybe this is in the channel and it's not a levee issue. So Ross contacted the state maintenance
somebody
yard and they decided to take it on. So that was awesome.
The price, good job, Ross. The price was about right with Kent because I talked to the superintendent for the state and he told me it was still $8,000 for the crane rental. So it was pretty much on target for there.
They crane it from the top, Ross?
They'll crane it from the top.
That's a long reach, too.
Yeah. Matter of fact, the camp was right here, too, when a tree fell down, and they never stopped doing what they did in their camp. They just kept on
going.
Didn't
even phase them.
They didn't phase them. They never stopped. Some of the trash over here we've been picking up over here at the hotel, over here on Jaboom Street. Matter of fact, there was a fire over here. One of our piles burned up today. It was on the news.
Mm.
It just lit on fire over here. The camps are really inundating that hotel here. The hotel is really trying to keep all the campers out of their areas. Sinkhole we had over here at the Wood Lake area. We had a small sinkhole. They were backing in to fill it up, and the truck fell into the sinkhole. So it just kind of went in there. These are the sinkholes. Me and Tim took a look at. There's a lot of sinkholes in this area right here, pretty much.
Mile 3, right here.
Same spot it's always at.
Same spot right here.
Yeah, it is.
Same spot. So we started doing exploratory digging, and through talking with Tim, and this is what we came up with. We put a concrete seal 10 feet down. We went 10 feet down, we started hitting the water. It's a beaver hole.
And the only way we could plug the water from flowing in is we plugged it with concrete. And it doesn't flow through there anymore.
So there's our Mini X we've been using all the time. You always ask me about the rail. We've been using this thing continuously. So we used 10 yards of concrete, and we just mixed it with a trench like a slurry. Then we put fresh dirt in and covered the hole back up. There was a cavern, there's a beaver cavern inside here. There's a pretty big size hole.
Wow.
We did a lot of exploratory digging. The water just kept pouring in some of the holes in there. Right there is where we hit 10 feet down on the water level, same as the creek side. That's all the water that poured in there. That's before we put the concrete in the hole.
So seeping through?
Seeping through.
It's going through a pipe.
So does the concrete concrete will set, even though there's all that water?
You put dry concrete in there, and it just hardens.
Wow.
Yeah, so we had this fast-sitting concrete. It was hardening up as we went. So that's our trench we had right here. We dug a trench, and we just kept filling
it
with concrete.
Was it 20 feet long, maybe?
It was over 20, 60 feet.
60?
It was 60 feet long. We measured, you can see our markings we had here. We did 60 feet.
We think that should put an end to the burrowing at the toe of the levee.
Yes, I told the guys, remember where that concrete is if you ever have to go out there.
Yeah.
So we have markers on the trail.
A bunch of really angry beavers out
that's
there.
That's our beaver right there. It's a huge beaver. There was two beavers swimming around when we were out there. That's our beaver issue right there.
They're mocking you.
Yes, they were mocking us.
They're flipping them the tail.
Right here, this is another tree we lost to Arcadia's routine storm damage. The lights you were talking about, this is what we're putting on for the bike trails, high-density LED lights.
Yeah,
you get blinded by those lights. So we added all our mowers. We're also looking at putting cameras on our mowers, too, for safety now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at putting cameras that go on all our tractors for safety. So that's coming, too. Right here, we had a squirrel damage sinkhole right here along 8th Street. So Gilbert went out and started, he's starting to bait the squirrels here, but this is all just squirrel damage. It just kind of sank. There must have been a trench that ran along the top of it there. A lot of sinkholes this year.
All that rain.
So we backfilled it with AB. Then we compacted it back in to where it's pretty hard right there. It only went down about a foot and a half with it. It wasn't too much of a problem. We started mowing season already. We're gonna mow around all the camps. So
that's not our tent.
That is not our tent. That's the homeless tent there. They moved their stuff for Alvin out of the way. They saw him coming, so they were pretty cooperative with moving their stuff.
We're gonna develop a policy about mowing around homeless people. And I'll present it to the board. Ross and I are still, it's in draft form, but there's so many considerations now. It's like, how close do you get? What do you walk the site beforehand? Who do you engage if they're, combative? We're going to develop, I think it's a good idea. And we can keep modifying it over the years, but we think we need a policy on mowing near tents.
Yeah, working around the homeless is going to be a big issue for us right now. Drainage problems over at Kelton area. We went ahead and rented this excavator here to see if it would work for us. This one was a little bit big, but we had a drainage right here that didn't drain for years. Now we just dug it up, so now it drains the Kelton area. We went over to A Street. We went and go ahead and took off and cleaned it all up, exposed the hole to see what was going on over there at the sinkhole. It stayed. It was pretty hard. We found two rattlesnakes underneath that board, baby rattlesnakes. We picked them up nicely and we threw them over on the grass there, so they're living out there somewhere in the water.
Who picked them up?
Gilbert did. We shoveled them. We just threw them over to the side.
I was going to say,
so mama's around somewhere.
I guess Tim won't be watching snakes on a plane.
Right there by your house, Steve. That is at H Street.
I'll say mom's probably nowhere near.
You think?
Snakes don't care for their young like that.
So after all the rain, we were talking. We finally figured everything drained right here. And up above inside a bridge, we cleaned up all the sides. We added more drainage. We cut in some more so all the water drained away from the last heavy rain. We got no problems here at all. So all that dirt stayed. It was pretty fast. I told David to do some exploratory digging in here, and it's pretty well solid as rock. We went and put the railing back up. Got that all back in place. So the guys got that done this week, too. We did all this in the afternoon. There's the tree that fell down again. Or an arcade. That's our new site. We were working with the Tree Foundation. Mm-hmm. That's going to be our new site to store our rock and all our debris.
Oh, good.
Can I explain this one? Yeah. We used to use that vacant lot right over there, I think Bob Slovy sold that to somebody.
Oh.
So we're moving all of our stuff out of there. But they offered up this area over on the corner. Same type of agreement, just kind of a handshake deal. Mm-hmm. We'll do some mowing.
But it already has the fence around it. Big white gates to get trucks in.
So WCS isn't in there anymore?
No. But the Tree Foundation is, so we're going to share the space and, have a good relationship with Ray.
Ray told me that they're moving out of there.
Yeah, they moved all the, there's still some stuff stored there, but all the operations are down at the Army Depot.
Oh, okay.
So Bob Slowey's pretty good about us using the land. We'll take care of it for him. So it's a pretty good site because we can make all the dust back here and store our rock and dirt so we don't have to go so far out there. So
It's a great site.
It's already fenced off too, so. And that's the end of our photos.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you, Ross.
So I have a question just because I saw, it was last week, I think it was USGS. There was a huge truck out there drilling and then they went to the other side of the river, right?
They're drilling about 9 sites for the U.S. Army Corps. The Corps is studying the erosion potential along the American River, and they put together a drilling program, but the USGS is doing the actual drilling.
Okay,
they've got the most experience in that type of thing.
Down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, let's go back to item number 4, presentation to retiring trustee. So, let's start. I'm going to come around here, please.
Wow, I'm stunned at how long it's been. That's what I mean.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yes.
So we have a resolution for Vini, and I'm going to read the whole thing just to embarrass you. Whereas Bettina Redway was elected to the Board of Trustees of Maricopa Flood Control District, she faithfully served 2 terms. First term started November 1998. And continued to November 2010. Her second term started in August 2012 until now. She contributed to the board discussions as a stabilizing influence on a diverse array of topics by citing a fund of knowledge not possessed by other board members, that's for sure. While her tenure on the board, Bettina served as a member of the Personnel and Benefits Committee, and which required attending numerous meetings where she carefully considered fair and equitable treatment of the district employees and apportionment of their benefits. She's always offered a clarity of thinking and helped guide the board through many challenges that included, but not limited to, careful management of district reserve funds and responsible oversight of fiduciary responsibilities. She has a unique ability to concisely convey the desires of the board with articulate eloquence not common in public official therefore
thank you.
Pretty good, huh? Therefore, as resolved, the board trustees, American Flood Control District, Bettina Nini Redway is hereby honored and commended for her public service.
Thank
we're waiting for one more signature.
I'm going to present her this plaque as well,
Brian.
Brian,
camera.
Brian, people tell me how to behave.
And we also have a very nice plaque for you,
wow,
for your new residence. And very glad that we've been able to serve with you and sorry to see you go.
Well, you guys are all really wonderful to work with, and it is a little sad, but...
So hold your plaque up
not
for the photo.
Not too sad.
You have a good smile.
Congratulations.
Well, you should all come up and visit me up in Columbus.
We'll do that.
Yes. Yes.
We also
summer
have
function.
A card, too.
Summer function.
No.
Thank you, Nini.
No, thank you.
You bet. Anything you'd like to say?
Just that you have all been really wonderful to work with, and I will miss you all. I will miss the board meetings. And I really just appreciate all the work you do. So.
And you know where to find us.
And I know.
All right.
And Richard, thank you for coming all the way from Florida.
Richard, 3 hours of sleep.
Richard, would you like to say something?
Make him come hell or high water.
Oh, don't make him say anything.
Would you like to say something? You came all this way.
I had to come and say, you know, the district is a different place than it was 27 years ago. Part of that change is because of many of the board members who decided to come and be the board members they were, and you're one of them, and I appreciated it and wanted to make sure I was here to tell you that.
It was funny because when Ray was running, she called and asked, like, you know, why did you run? And like, wow, that was a long time ago. It was like when Auburn Dam was, it was Virginia, Carolyn, and I think,
right.
Or Clyde.
Clyde was there.
And Tom Whitney.
Yeah,
it was just a really different time.
I go back even further than that when it was even less functional.
No, you. By the time I came on, Carolyn and Virginia had been here for a little while.
4 years.
But you're instrumental, and Carolyn and Virginia as well, for bringing us into the real world. And
yeah, Virginia called me. She said, will you run for the board? What? What is this?
Okay, thank you very much. Questions and comments from trustees? I have a couple. On the 18th, which I think is next Wednesday, is the SAFCA board meeting, if I recall, and I'm not going to be able to be there. So would either of the alternates like to attend?
I would like to attend, but I will be out of town.
So okay. I can attend. That's not a problem. And I'm
okay,
very much
I will, I will tell the... SAFCA secretary that you'll be sitting in on that one, okay? And then also, just let you know that at the SAFCA executive committee meeting last week, council member Harris said some really nice things about our executive director, our staff, and the trustees for the way that we handled that controversial bicycle trail issue. And I think at our next meeting, I'd like to have a put on the agenda a conversation about reconsidering our trails policy and tightening it up maybe some so that and the council member alerted me that there may be future requests by the city to put the trail on top of the levee, and so we might want to be prepared for those with a tighter policy. Yes.
I forgot. When you're done, I do have something.
Okay, that's all I had. If we could put that on the agenda for next month.
Got it.
You know, maybe even some recommendations for how we could tighten it up and, you know, have things like extraordinary circumstances for variances, things like that.
So I'm offering to do most of the work, but I'd like to mostly to talk to Melaine and let her know. My neighborhood association does a quarterly newspaper, and they requested, because all the other agencies send like a little article, and they invited us this quarter. She said if I got her something this weekend, she could do it. I told her it's fine, we can do next quarter. But she invited us to send a picture and a little article, and I'm happy on kind of taking that on and tracking when it's due and getting that to them, but working and just wanted to let the board know like that.
Okay,
really
and let us know. Maybe we could.
Yeah, if other people like want to help write
well.
Stuff too, like just you know, they were very supportive of us talking about flood control and like what the work is, and just it's only 250 words, so it is extremely small. But if we do want to do a picture and a bigger one, she probably would feature us, especially during flood season. So.
I'm curious what the pleasure of the board is. Do you want this article be approved by the board before it gets brought or disseminated in a public document?
Actually, it's going to be from one of the trustees, so I think it's probably okay.
Okay.
If we say something erroneous, we'll take the heat.
Right.
I wouldn't want the whole board dragged into it.
Yeah, I figured I would sign my name to them, but if other people want to write them, then you could sign your name.
Yeah, I would
have
do
to
it.
It
should be from a trustee. And
okay. Sounds good.
But I might just be reaching out to you for pictures and different things for work that Ross has been doing. So.
That's all I had. Anyone else?
That was my only thing. I just wanted to let her know.
Okay.
Working on it.
And Nini, congratulations.
Yeah.
You are
Thank
free.
Thank you.
Meeting
you
are relieved.
I served with you very long, but I still want to. I might leave you still. I'm not going to promise I won't be back.